May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Helen, thank you for the words of welcome earlier on. It is indeed a very great pleasure to be with you for what is almost a normal service. We're going to do a little bit of church legalese a little bit later on, but it is very nice just to come and to be with you and to worship with you, because that's what really underpins our lives. It's what sustains us for the coming week. When I had a look through our readings today, my thought went to my early family life. I have two brothers. I'm the middle one. And we used to take great delight in winding each other up a little bit until finally they would lose their rag a little bit. And they would say all sorts of different things. And that sense of losing our tongue I was reminded of this week as well, as I followed the news feeds about the presidential debate in the US. I don't wish to say I'm making any kind of political comment at this moment, but what a fantastic example of one person being able to wind another person up, and they say all sorts of things that really are quite unbelievable. A loose tongue and being completely off message is what I have read. And how true it is in life for us, how we can frequently suddenly find ourselves saying things which afterwards we reflect on with, why on earth did I say that? Where did that come from? Well, don't worry, because it isn't anything new. And our readings today from the book of Isaiah, hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ, and from James's letter, we are reminded that a loose tongue is part of our human nature. But there is a little bit of help at hand. How we speak to others says a great deal about who we are, what we believe in, what we wish to offer to other people, and indeed what they might see in us. David, we're going to be licensing you shortly. Helen and James, I do have to warn you, of course, because in our reading from the book of James, we are told that those who use their tongues to be teachers will be judged by higher standards. But we are also told that indeed the tongue can't be tamed. As humans, we might be able to tame every animal, beast, bird, reptile, or sea creature. But actually, the tongue is the one thing that actually, as humans, it's almost impossible to tame. And in the book of Isaiah, as he writes, he says, if you can tame your tongue, if you never make a single mistake in what you might say, you will be perfect. None of us are perfect. Therefore, we will all make mistakes. And I love that part in our reading from James. How is it that with the same mouth we can offer blessings to others and we can offer curses? And he draws that analogy. How can you from the same olive tree get olives and figs? How can you get from the vine grapes and figs? How can you from dirty water get clean water? Well, actually, science tells us today with a bit of distillation we might be able to manage that. But of course, in his time, that's not where we were. That same thing cannot be represented in two ways. But with our mouths, we seem to manage it. Cursing and blessing. Building people up, knocking them down. And as James said, this ought not to be so. It is, of course, a challenge trying to live out our Christian lives. We will make mistakes. No one is perfect. We only have to look into our gospel reading from Mark We have an example of the disciples when Jesus asks them, "Who do you think I am?" Well, they really weren't too sure. John the Baptist, Elijah, some prophet, we're not quite sure who might be. But Peter does get it right. Well, at least to start with. Yes, you are the Messiah. Fantastic. But after Jesus has outlined what's going to be happening to him, what does Peter then do out of that same mouth that professed he was the Messiah? He starts to rebuke Jesus. Oh, surely not. We don't have the exact words, but can you imagine trying to rebuke Jesus? I think you might be wrong there, mate. Surely not. He gets it wrong. How we live out our Christian discipleship is a challenge. How we use our tongues to help, how we use our tongues to curse. And our secular world doesn't help us. Social media, quick-fired email, because we can speak without even opening our mouths nowadays, can't we? How easy it is to press the button, send quick, repent at leisure. Why did I send that? Can I get it back? No, it's out there. How much of a challenge is it for us to live as Christians in this world? Our secular world puts lots of pressures on us to follow others, to join in with the crowd, not to stand out, not to be seen, to be different. And I am particularly reminded of that when I think about Jesus telling his disciples about the passion. And as we think more about that passion story, one key part of it was the crowd. On Palm Sunday, using their mouths in great joy and celebration for Christ's triumphant entry. And maybe those same mouths then cursing him and disowning him and crying out that he should be crucified and seeking the release of Barabbas. Being part of the secular world is a great pressure on us. And sometimes we have to be strong enough to say no. And just as Helen introduced our service with our young people, anything and everything you could have, great. But sometimes you have to say no. And in our secular world, we need to be brave enough with our mouths sometimes to say no, not to join in, not to agree that so-and-so isn't a very nice person, not to join in with blaming somebody else, not to join in by saying things that perhaps the world might expect us to say, but being brave enough to stand up for what we believe in, to be a little bit counterculture. We can take confidence from our readings today. Isaiah twice reflects on the fact that the Lord God is with him to help him and to guide him, to strengthen him. It doesn't mean that Isaiah had an easy life, absolutely not. But when we know that we are doing our best to follow what God is asking of us, then we can have confidence of his help, of his support, of his loving care. When we stand up and when we say no to the secular world around us about what it expects us to say and do, we give up our secular life. But we gain something different. We gain a Christian life. We gain a spiritual life. And at times that can be very hard. And for some that might even be the cross that we are called to bear that Jesus referenced to his disciples in our gospel reading. We do need to be strong in our Christian living. Others may use their tongues to insult us. Jesus was insulted. Jesus was denied. Jesus was falsely accused. And indeed, of course, Isaiah even says sometimes it might get a little bit physical. And David, I have to warn you, your back may be struck. Your beard may be pulled. I'm pleased you've got a beard. I wasn't sure what I would do if you hadn't got a beard. But anyway, your beard may be pulled. You may be spat at. When we live our Christian lives, it is a challenge. Isaiah, in his reading, starts by saying that teachers may well be judged by a higher standard. Well, here is something to share with you this morning, because when we use our mouths in the right way, when we use our tongues in the way that they are intended to encourage others and to build others up, then we are all teachers by what we might say, by what we might do, how we profess our faith, how we demonstrate what Christian living looks like by saying no to the secular world around us. We are all teachers, and we will all be judged by what we do. We do need to learn how to tame our tongues, but we will be challenged by what others might say to us. That great sense of temptation of wanting to reply really what's in the top of our heads, straight off, no hesitation, get it out there. And then, of course, we regret what we have said. Bite our tongue, take our time, think that God is with us. What would Jesus do or say? How might we behave? We need to remain strong and faithful, though we will make mistakes because none of us are perfect. But the most important thing is when we do make mistakes, what do we then do with our tongues to correct that? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.